You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bage, host of The Entrepreneurs. Eva Goikachea is the founder and CEO of Maud, a Brooklyn-based personal care brand launched back in 2018. Intimacy and inclusivity are the keywords for the company, which has the ultimate aim to modernize and update the conversation around sexual health and wellness. Eva started her career working as a legislative aide in healthcare in her native California, and has worked in brand, strategy, and marketing in the design, cosmetics, and fashion sectors, including with Everlane. She is also the co-founder of watch brand Tinker Watches, and recently brought actor Dakota Johnson on board to serve as Maud's co-creative director, and to oversee the company's sustainable initiatives. For this week's program, Eva spoke to Monocle's New York correspondent, Henry Ree Sheridan, to share the story of Maud.
Before I started Maud, I spent about 10-plus years in brand strategy, working for startups and in marketing. And before that, I had a few years as a legislative aide in healthcare, which actually, those two things together have been very formative in thinking about how to build Maud and how I think about the future of this industry.
And when did you first have the idea for Maud?
The first time I had the idea for Maud was actually in a conversation with some designers who I was working with on a project called Tinker Watches. And they started to talk about, why has a sexual wellness industry never been modernized? And I thought, that's the idea that I want to pursue. This is what I've been waiting my whole career to do. And it makes sense. It's that really the convergence of healthcare and building brands. And that was in 2015.
That's kind of relevant because I wanted to ask you how you knew that the time was right to start the company. Like I was going to say, it might have been something much more difficult to launch even 5 years ago, but it sounds like you had the idea that long ago. What was the context like back then, in terms of the market and people's receptivity to your idea? And how has that changed over time?
It's a very interesting thing to think about the timing of the idea, because this is an industry that has been dominated by big players, legacy companies, for over 100 years. And so in many ways, even 5 years ago, the idea was quite late, this idea of making a more modern industry. But I think the few years that it took to get off the ground were actually years spent well and really teed up the right timing for this category, because it's now getting to the point where I would say the broader conversation is sexual wellness is just like any other part of your wellness and it should be treated that way. And so people have been very receptive to Maud's take on the category, and I very much chalk that up to timing. So it's quite interesting to think about the evolution of the 5 years spent.
Speak in a little bit more detail about what the sexual wellness landscape looked like back in 2015.
The sexual wellness industry in 2015 looked pretty similar to what it's looked like for the past few decades, which is that you might buy your basics, which are condoms and lubricants, in a drugstore, and it's still a very stigmatized purchase. I think most people feel uncomfortable being on that aisle. Sometimes the aisle is called family planning, so you can tell how outdated it was and still is. And then you find maybe devices or toys, as they're called, in sex shops. And so it makes this industry quite fragmented, and it makes the customer experience very, again, like stigmatized and uncomfortable. And it's a subject that's so everyday and so human that I just thought there has to be a better way.
You know, you point out that previously these two categories were kind of sold separately. There wasn't much kind of integrated marketing as to how you could like employ them one with the other. How have you brought those together?
I think that the idea in 2015, and it is very much the same as it was then when I first started thinking about it, was how can you make these products feel like everyday basics? How can you make them feel like essential items together? And what that means is you should be able to buy them in the same place. By introducing these products together, it created an intimacy brand. And now our tagline is modern intimacy, and we have since extended into other product categories. But those were really the foundational things to say, we stand for your intimate life, and we believe that all people should be able to have access to these things in a very comfortable way.
Take me through how you attracted funding for Maud and the kind of conversations that you had around that when you were looking for funding.
Well, when you're thinking about taking any type of VC money, I think that the first thing you have to consider, and what we considered, was is it a much larger market? Is it a big category? And understanding that this is a very monopolized category, but it's completely sort of a global issue that there are no modern brands. I knew walking into meetings with investors that this was something that really had a huge potential to be a very big market size and something to change an industry. So I walked in with that kind of confidence, knowing that, but there also is the element of it's sex. And so talking about that can create some level of discomfort. But I walked in, I treated it like an everyday conversation and started to get a lot of traction. So we raised a round of funding, and that really started with making a lot of connections and knocking on a lot of doors in 2017. And since then, we have raised 3 rounds of funding. And a lot of that came from the initial excitement around the brand, both with the customer and with the press. And that has since grown. And I think that it really speaks to the need. So it was a journey.
And how do you view the company? Do you view it as an e-commerce company, a tech company? You just mentioned the phrase like an intimacy brand. How do you think about the company, and how did you pitch it to potential investors? And is there a gap between the two?
I pitched the company as a mission-based company because I believe that there are actually only 2 types of product companies. You either focus on product and you almost commoditize something, or you speak to innovation, or you speak to mission. And this is absolutely a category that has so much emotional impact and physical impact. And obviously sex education, especially in the United States, is quite disparate and fragmented. And so it was such a big category that it was really about mission. And that's how I pitched the company. What if you invested in something that changes culture forever? And the interesting thing was that many investors took the idea home to their spouses or their college-age children and said, "What do you think of this idea?" And all of them came back and said, everybody at the table knew that this was a good idea. And so it spoke across generations and across genders. And I believe that that's really what the mission is all about, is changing the future of sexual wellness.
Describe the kind of range of products that you offer so we can get an idea of the diversity of what you're putting out there.
Our product assortment has evolved since we started. We launched a massage candle at the end of 2018, and it took off. The customer was super excited about this idea of setting the mood. And part of our mission has always been to offer content. And so it was very easy to tell the story around setting the mood and sort of art, design, culture, all of those things as they relate to intimacy, by having this next product extension. And from there, we have since launched bath and body products that always have a bit of a cheeky twist. So they're meant to be used, you know, alone or with a partner. And we have a wash that's a pH balanced body wash, but it was also formulated to make a lot of bubbles. So it's great for bubble baths. But this idea was to just really think about intimacy in a way that felt like almost an extension of other parts of your personal care or beauty routines. And that's what we've become, sort of the one-stop go-to place to think about modern intimacy. And that was really the goal.
You run a blog on the company's website called The Maudern. How does that product add value to the brand, and what kind of stuff does it cover?
When we first launched the site, we started, you know, creating content. And the idea was, could we test how to be a part of the customer's life and create an ecosystem that gave something back to them, that created education and conversation? And it really grew. So now The Maudern is actually 3 verticals. It's The Maudern, which is our core audience of 25 to about 45. The Golden, which is 45 and up, and the Essentials, which is 18 to 25. And it speaks to sort of those life stages around love and sex and intimacy and all of the things that surround that. And so it is read by about 70% of our customers. We send out an email every week with the content, and we receive over 1 million impressions a month on the site. So it's very much a part of what they expect from the brand at this point. And it's really interesting to see that evolution and be a part of a conversation that's more broad and beyond just product or audience.
What are your plans for the future from a business perspective?
The future is quite big. There's so much room to run here. We recently announced Dakota Johnson as our co-creative director, and she is just a fantastically smart, wonderful person who's very interested in using her platform to continue normalizing the conversation. So next year we'll bring collaboration and conversation with her, and also new products. We now know what our customers want, and they tell us what else they're looking for. And so we've created a roadmap that was really with them in mind. And we'll continue to see new partners. I mean, MoMA was one that was really interesting, and we'll go into other retailers. And in some cases, we're the only sexual wellness brand that they'll carry. So there are many roads to be charted here, and we're really excited about the future.
Eva Goikachea, founder and CEO of Maud. My thanks to Eva and to Henry Reese Sheridan for conducting the interview. And to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.